Today's daf is Chulin daf Kuf Yud, and we are 10 lines from the bottom of daf Kuf Tes on the base. Today's daf is being learned as a Schus Refuah Shalema for Shlomo ben Sarah Aliza. So the Mishnah on the bottom of daf Kuf Tes Amid Aleph turned its attention to another subcategory within the sugya of Basav Chalov, and that is the sugya of Khal. So Khal is the udder of the animal. It's the part of the animal that has milk. When you milk an animal, you're milking the udder of the animal. And the udder poses a particular challenge as it relates to kashrus, specifically basav chalav. And that is because the udder is meat. It has in it milk. Thus, the question is it okay to eat the khal of an animal, or is it not okay to eat the khal of an animal? The Mishnah said on the bottom of Daf Kuf Tes Amud Aleph, HaKchal Koyroi U'moitzias Chalavoi, that if you want to eat the khal, what you have to do is you have to tear it open first, remove the milk, and then afterwards eat it. Says the Mishnah, Loi Koroi, let's say you did not tear open the khal and remove the milk, Einei Over Olav. You're not going to be over anything. Now, the Lashon of the Mishnah is very sussum. What does Einei Over Olav mean? Does it mean it's mutter? Does it mean Einei Over Olav? There's no Malkus, for example, but at the same time, it's going to be Osir. And the Gemara brought two Lishonos in a Memra that Rav Zeira said in the name of Rab. The first Lishon was, Amar Rav Zeira, Amar Rab, was the first lines of Daf Kuf Tes Amud Beis, Einei Over Olav Mutter. That it's mutter, the katchila even, to eat the khal despite the fact that you didn't tear it open. So, I mean, you're supposed to tear it open. But in the event that you cooked it or you roasted it without actually tearing it open, that lach is, it's going to be mutter to eat the katchila. Then the Gemara brought another lishna, what Reb Zeira said in the name of Rab, that ain't the over olive aser, that ain't the over olive just means on the da'iraisa level. But at the same time, if you cooked or roasted the khal without tearing it open, the halacha is, it's going to be aser to eat. And in the hemshuch of Shabbos' daf, the Gemara said, Tanya kavase de lishna kama, the Gemara de Braisa, that supported the first lishna of the Gemara, and that is, chal she bishloi b'chalavai mutter. That if you cooked the khal or roasted the khal without tearing it open, the halach is it's going to be mutter the katchila. So it sounds like even though there's an idea of khal, you're supposed to tear it open because of the chalav that's inside the khal, but this is only on a real katchila level. Stating that if you didn't tear it open and you cooked it, it's going to be okay. And the truth is, at first glance, it's sarach bir. Why is it okay? The khal is basar. The chalav that's inside the khal is chalav. It says in the Torah, leisavashel gedibah chalavim. Now let it cook basar and chalav together. If you cook basav v'chalav together, derech bishul asur tell you not let it eat the basav v'chalav. So why is it okay to go now and eat the khal if it was cooked together with its chalav? The short answer is because there's a halacha that even though basav v'chalav is asur, but chalav of a behema shchuta is okay. The Torah says leisavashel gediba chalev imoy, and the Gemara darshins, we're going to see it in the coming dafin, that the only time it's aser basav chalav de raisa is if the chalav came from an animal that's royally same, from a live animal. So if you milk a live animal, you cook that milk together with meat, that's basav chalav de raisa. If the animal, however, is in a state now where it can't be a mother anymore, it's dead. Even if it had a kasha shchita, what's called chalav mesa or chalav shchuta, that chalav is not asa midei raisa. Chal is always going to be chalav shchuta. You want to eat chal, not eating eva menachai. You're eating chal of a behema shchuta. So even though there's chalav inside the chal, that chalav is always going to be chalav shchuta, which is on the outside looking in as it relates to the halachos of basav chalav. So whenever we're discussing chal, we're anyways not handling basav chalav de raisa, because the chalav by definition is chalav shchuta, which means that it's not subject to the laws of basav chalav de raisa. Now the truth is that chalav shchuta, even though it's not asim de raisa, it is asim de rabbana. So from a rabbana standpoint, it should be asr. Stating that, the chachamim said that when is chalav shchuta aser midrabanan? That's if you take the chalav and you mix it together with the basar and you cook it. That's the time that the chachamim were geyser even on chalav shchuta. But that's not what's happening with chal. Chal is the milk that was inside the udder of the animal when you shechted it. You're not taking chalav shchuta and now pouring it into your kedera. That's your tipas. No, what you have over here is something that naturally had the milk inside. The chalav shchuta never left the chal. Cholov Kazeh, the Chachamim never made the Gezerah, and it's for that reason we're even having this conversation. So again, Chal is a discussion, it's a Mishnah, the Gemara, Tula Shoinis in Rav, it's known from the more as being one of the more difficult sugis in the sugi of Basav Chalav, but you know, the Muschurishin as it relates for Daf Yomi purposes, I mean, what's the Shiloh with Chal? Is Basav in the Chalav? The Teretz is because the Chalav is anyways Chalav Shchuta, and even though Chalav Shchuta is awesome in the Rabbanon, that's only Chalav Shchuta that departed the animal, but this is Chalav that never left the animal, it's still inside the other, thus, Bekehai Gavna, it could be, it would be different. What the Gemara seemed to say, the takeaway of the second half of yesterday's Daf, is that there's two Lashonis and what Rav held as it relates to Chal, Tanya Kavosei Delishna Kama, which seems to be that as long as you cook it or roast it, in today's Daf, there'll be nuances between Bishul and Sli, Ayim Rishonim, that's beyond the scope of what we do. But for now, if you roast it for sure, and maybe even if you cook it, that would be enough to say that even if you didn't tear it open, even though the Chalav is still inside, on such a Chalav, Shkut Chalav never made a Gzeira, it's going to be okay to eat it L'Katchila. Either way, on that note, the Gemara begins with a classic Gemara. Amar le Yalta l'Rav Nachman. Rav Nachman's wife's name was Yalta. Yalta told Rav Nachman Mechti. Called the Asr l'Rachmana Shor l'Kavasi. Everything that the Torah said is Asr. The Torah was also Mater. In other words, Asr l'an Dama Shor l'Kavdi. You're not allowed to eat blood, but at the same time, you're allowed to eat liver. We're going to see in tomorrow's daf. Tomorrow's daf is going to be hashtag chop liver. That's really the topic of tomorrow's daf. It's all about liver from a kashrut standpoint. How you kashrut liver, how you prepare it, how you salt it. And the reason is because the liver is saturated in that. Now, at the end of the day, you're allowed to eat liver. So being that you're allowed to eat liver, Yalta told Rav Nachman, even though the Torah said you're not allowed to eat blood, but if you want to be toyem atam dam, you could eat liver. Liver hasn't it atam dam. Nida dam toyer. The Torah said that dam nidah zaser, but at the same time, there is a way where a person can experience ba'ifen heter dam nidah, so to speak, and that is dam toyer. Rashi says, what does dam toyer mean? Either it means dam psulim, or it means that a yeledes, after she has a baby, so she's a nidah for a certain period of time, midday raisa, we don't have these halachas anymore, but midday raisa, after 1 week or 2 weeks, depending if it's a boy or a girl, all the dam that she sees is not dam nidah anymore, it's dam toyer. So it's like dam nidah, but it's really mutter. Chelev behema, the Torah said chelev behema is asa, chelev chai is mutter. Chazer, the Torah said that a chazer is asa, right? You can't eat chazer, but if somebody wants to know what a chazer tastes like, this is the part of the Gemara that's famous. Moicha de shibuta, eat the mayach, eat the brain of the shibuta. Rashi says that's a non-kosher fish, and this shibuta's mayach tastes like chazer. Gerusa, which is a non-kosher bird. Lishna de kavra, you can taste it, you can eat the kosher bird. Eshes ish, Terry said eshes ish is asr, but grusha b'chayi baila, that's mutter, and that's a little bit of eshes ish. Eshes ach, the Torah said is asr, yavama is mutter. Kutis, you're not allowed to marry a non-Jewish woman, but this is the parish of Yefas Toyer. Yefas Toyer is dafke talking about a non-kosher woman. Said, Yalta to Rav Nachman. So I understand, I see a theme here, that even though the Torah said a lot of things are awesome, but everything that the Torah said is awesome, if you want, you can find it with a hechsher. You can find it with a badatz hashkach, a mahadrim and a mahadrim. So your question was, Be'ina l'meichel b'sir v'chalva, I want to eat b'sir v'chalva. Find me, where can I find basav chalav that's going to be kosher? Amal Rav Nachman, Rav Nachman said, "L'tabach izvikulo kachli, go roast for my wife the chal, because by roasting the chal, there's chalav inside of it. That's how you're going to be able to taste your basav. Fate to Gemara, could you go to katchila and just roast chal? But now the Mishnah says, koyroi. Doesn't the Mishnah say that you have to tear it open first? So Rav Nachman said, ahu l'kdeira. That's talking about if you're going to cook it. I didn't say cook it, I said roast it. Freik the Gemara Vaktani Shabishli in Likatchiloloi. There's a brice, one of the brices that the Gemara brought earlier on the Amid said that it's only okay b'dievet to be mevashalit, and Rashi speaks out on top of Kufyur Amid Alf that this Bishli doesn't mean cooking, it means roasting. So it sounds like that even roasting is only okay b'dievet. The Gemara says, no, who had in the field Likatchilo? Really, Likatchilo, you should be able to roast. If I did the Gemara, let me say for Keva Shabishlo, Bechalava Asura, Dafil the Evan Amiloi, that same brice again. That was only yesterday's daf. Mentioned that the chalav that's found in the cave in the stomach of the animal, that chalav is asr. And there, even if you cook it b'dievet, it's still not okay. So that's why the Reisha mentioned shabishul b'dievet as well. But really, Rav Nachman held that it's not okay l'katchila to cook the chal, but it is okay to roast the chal. Thus, you see a chilik between bishul and sli, as we mentioned in the intro, as it relates to chal. But Rav Nachman told his wife Yaltas, you want to know what basav chalav tastes like? There's a way to be toyim basav chalav, even when you can't eat a cheeseburger, but you can eat chal. And the chal has dam inside of it, and it's okay to roast it, likat chila, like the first lishna of Rav, on Daf Kuf Tes Amid Beis on the top of the Yomid where the Gemara had a Tanya Kavase to Lishna Kam the Rav. And again, this is all based on what we spoke at in the intro, that even though the Khal has it at Cholav, it's Cholav Shchuta, and on such a Cholav Shchuta, the Chacham never went ahead and made Exeris. I'm going to come back to this Gemara, but first, the Gemara is going to continue to discuss Rav's Halachas of Chal. So we said, Rav, there were two Lishonis what Rav said. The first Lishna was that Rav said, it's okay L'katchila to eat the Chal. Mishnah says tear it open, but if you didn't tear it, you could eat it. It's fine. Lishna Basra, the second Lishna in Rav was, is that it's not okay. You're supposed to go ahead and tear it open. And there was a Tanya Kavasi to the Lishna Kama. So the Gemara is going to struggle now to understand what was Pshat in the second Lishna. The second version was Rav Zeri had heard in the name of Rav that it's not okay to go ahead and eat a roasted Chal or a cooked Chal. L'chayra, there's a brisa that says before that it is okay. So it says the Gemara, Kisalik, Rabbi Lazar, where Rabbi Lazar went from Babatah, he saw Ashkechel Ze'iri, he met Ze'iri, Amale, so he told him, Ikatana das Nayel Rav Chal. I mean, I'm wondering, where did Rav get this from? The way Rav Zeri had it in the second Lishna, that Chal is Aser. I mean, it's a mistake, because it's connected to brisa. But this mistake must have come from somewhere. So did anybody ever tell Rav something that may have misled him? So the Gemara says, Achvei l'Rav Yitzchak bar Avdimi. Says, Iri told Rav Elazar, go talk to Rav Yitzchak bar Avdimi. Amalei, he went to Rav Yitzchak bar Avdimi, and he says, tell me, do you know where Rav got this from? Amalei, he told him, Ani lo yishin yitzchak like Chal kolikar. I never told Rav anything about Chal. But I do know the rest of the story. What happened was Rav Bika Matzah, the God of Agadah. Rav came to a place, he saw an open field, and he felt that you have to put up a fence to protect it. And he went ahead and he built the fence. What is this? The Rav Ikla Tatlofush. Rav once came to Tatlofush. That was a city. Shamalai Hiitza, he overhears, there was a woman talking. The Kamar Lechavirta, she tells her friend, Riva de Bistra, tell me, you know, I'm looking for a recipe. I have a quarter pound of chicken and a basar, and I want to put milk inside of it. How much milk am I supposed to put in the recipe? Like what, the people in Tatlofish, they're such amiratzim, they don't even know that basav v'chalav is aser. So the Gemara says, he remained there, and he taught them the laws of basav v'chalav. And not only did he teach them the laws of basav v'chalav, he even went ahead and told them that chal is going to be aser. I mean, Rav really held that chal is mutter. He knew the first lish, he knew the danya kavase the lishna kama, he knew that chal is mutter the katchila. So what's pshat is this mesayra Rav Zeira heard a lishna basra that Rav said it's awesome. This was the rest of the story. Yitzchak bar Avdimi told him it was a psakei ra for a kehila that were being very lax in the laws of basav v'chalav, and he felt he had to be mechazik them. And the way he was going to be mechazik them was going ahead and being so machmer in the laws of basav v'chalav that even chal was going to be aser. So for a functioning kehila, it's okay to have chal. But he felt for them this was important. That's why he told me. Where it says Rav Kahana Masachet, this the aforementioned was Rav Kahana's version of what's the beer in Rav's Lishna Basra, who said chal is aser. If there's a brisa that says it's Rav Yitzchak Rabbi had a different version. He said, "I know Chal Shom Niko Shom Nisila." Rav Yitzchak Rabbi, so again, Rabbi Lazar comes to Eretz Yisrael, he meets Ze'iri. He says, "Do you have any information about why there may be this Messiah that Rav said Chal is Aser?" So he tells him, "Go speak to Rav Yitzchak Bar Avdimi." In the first version, Rav Yitzchak Bar Avdimi told him that Rav issued this psak for a kehila that was very lax in Basav Echolav. In the second version, Rav Yitzchak Bar Avdimi told him, "I know Chal Shom Niko Shom Nisila." I was talking about the. Well, I was the one who told Rav the halacha. So what you heard Rav say, he actually heard from me. And the halacha was talking about the chal of an animal that's nursing. And being that the animal's nursing, so there's a lot of milk. So being that it's a lot of milk, it's that type of chal that's going to be awesome. And I told it to Rav Chiyah. And Rav Chiyah, he said, was the one who told it to Rav. Rav Chiyah was a big charif, Rashi says, and thought for sure Rav would understand on his own. He didn't think he had to explain. He thought Rav would understand on his own that the only time chal is awesome is the chal of Minika. And as a result, all this confusion happened. But again, Rav for sure only said one thing. He said a chal is mutter, like the brisa that supported Rav. Either is this ikud da'amri that Rav Zeir heard in the name of Rav that chal is aser. One of two things happened. Either it was a special psak that he gave for a specific kehila, or what happened was he was talking about the chal of a menekes, and Rav didn't fully understand it when he heard it from Rav Chiyah, who heard it from Rabbi Yitzchak bar Avdimi. Just one interesting thing before we go weiter. So Rav Bika Matzah V'Gadaba. According to the first version, Rav comes to this kehila called Tatlafush, and he sees that they're being very makel in the laws of Basav V'Cholav, and he went ahead and he was mezarez them. So I saw in the Sha'ar Mitzionim Ba'alacha from Shlomo Zalman Braun, so he brings from the Igeris of Rav Shri Ragoyin. So Rav Shri Ragoyin was one of the Goyinim. And a lot of history that we have, a lot of our Jewish history, comes from Rav Shri Ragoyin. He wrote a letter, and there's a lot of fascinating history about the Tanoim and the Amiraim that we know from the letter of Rav Shira Goyen. So one of the things he brings over there is the Rav Ozav es Shmuel ben Hardoi, Shaya Makam Torah. Rav, right, you have Rav Shmuel Damin Shavaya, they're always talking and learning, they're always arguing. So Rav used to live together with Shmuel ben Hardoi. Shmuel was the Rav and Hardoi, and Rav lived together with Shmuel. The Hisrachik Lemakim Shalayhaya Batayra. And then Rav decided one day, the wine line in the Hardoi, Nardoi, there's so much Torah in Hardoi anyways, they have Shmuel. They don't need me. So he decided that he's going to go to a place where there was no Torah. The Hisura. And he went to Surah, Hanikros Masa Mechasi, which has another name. It also refers to as Masa Mechasi. And Rav Shira Goyen is right. He's just telling the story of Rav. So he goes out to do Kiruv. And he said he found Kehila Shafilu Issa Basa Vechalav La Yadu. They didn't even know the laws of Basa Vechalav. This is the rest of the story. The city of Tatlofish. But Omar Rav, Rav said, Eshev Kana Chetar B'Toyr B'Makam Hazeh. V'zeh Kamay Oysay Maisa Shem Mefurish It's amazing. Rav actually had this passion. He felt he was in a Hardah, he was in a Makam Torah, any Dar El, Makam Torah, and then he decided that he's going to go out. And he decides to go to Kirov, he goes to Surah. At the time, when Rav went, you know, today, Surah, we think of Surah and Pumpadisa and Hardah. It's synonymous with a Makam Torah. That's because of the influence. Like when the Chazanish went to Bnei Brak, there was nothing in Bnei Brak. Chazanish created Bnei Brak. So that's what happened. The point is that he went to Surah, he went to Masa Mechasi, and he was the one that brought Torah there. But at the time that Rav settled there, there was so little there that there was, they mamish didn't even know the laws of, they didn't know the laws of Masa Mechal. I thought it's a fascinating idea that Rav, you never think of Rav as being a Makariv. I mean, you think of Rav as giving, you know, the top shir and the best yeshiva. But Rav goes to a city like Surah, a city like Masa, they don't even know the law. He's teaching them the laws of Basa V'chal. It's unbelievable. Either way, just a shtikala hergish. Regardless, Zok Tigmar Vayta Rav and Rav Yitzchak Bar Yosef Iklu Lebei Rav Papi. Rav and Rav Yitzchak Bar Yosef once came to the city of Rav Papi. I assume we come out of Shiloh D'chal. So Rav and Rav Yitzchak, these two gedolim, they're invited in, and they sit down in the city where Rav Papi is the Rav, and they feed them tafshil b'chal, food that was made out of chal. Rav Yisrael Yosef achal. Rav Yisrael ate. Rav lo yachal. Rav didn't want to eat. He didn't want to eat chal. Amar Abaya. So Abaya said, Rav t'chala. Ravin apparently had lost his children during his lifetime. So Abaya referred to Ravin as t'chala, someone who lost his children. Amay lo yachal. He says, why aren't you eating? He said, mechti, the visit to Rav Papi. You know, who was serving him food? Rav Papi's Rebbetzin. She was the balabusta in the house. He said, Barti Rav Yitzchak Nafcha Avoy. She's Rav Yitzchak Nafcha's daughter. Rav Yitzchak Nafcha Mardov Dahav. Rav Yitzchak Nafcha is the, everyone knows what a tzaddik he was. He loved the Shmila Mibay Nashal. Had she not seen this in her mother's house, in her father's house growing up, she would never serve it to you. So he said, Rav, Abaya was very upset at Rav. And he says, I don't understand. You go to the Godla Adar's house, it's not kosher enough? He says, this is Rav Yitzchak Nafcha's daughter who's serving you chal, and you think chal's not kosher. If she's serving to you, it must be kosher, says the Gemara, stating that despite the fact that Abaya was upset that Ravin wouldn't eat the chal, and we came out Tanya Kavasi Delishnakama, and even Rav Nachman told Yalta she could eat the chal, stating that not everywhere in Klal Yisrael did they eat chal. Besura loy achli. In Surah, the meaning was not to eat chal. The Pumpadisa, however, achli. In Pumpadisa, they did eat chali. Rami Bar Tamri, says the Gemara. Do Rami Bar Dikuli. Rami Bar Tamri. Sometimes he's referred to Rami Bar Dikuli, a Tamar, a Dekel. Either way, in Pumpadisa, he was from Pumpadisa, Iklul Surah. He came to Surah, but Mali Yom Kippuri. It was Erev Yom Kippur. Afkina Kuli Yamal Kachino. Now, Erev Yom Kippur, everybody's eating, right? It's a mitzvah to eat on Erev Yom Kippur. And they were shechting animals, and they took all their chals and they threw it away. Azal iyu. So Rami Bar Dikuli or Rami Bar Tamri, same person went. Noktenu, and he took them. Achlinu, and he ate them. I saw the kamed Rav Chizda. They brought him before Rav Chizda. Amalei, amai tavid hachi. So Rav Chizda asked this yid. He says, Why are you eating the chal? We don't eat chal in Surah. Amalei, so he told him, Yasrud Rabbi Yehuda ana. I live in Rabbi Yehuda's city. I'm from Pumpadisa, the achal. And where I come from, we eat it. Amalei, Rav Chizda told him, Lesloch noisam of chumri amok shiyasim isham. Vchumri amok shalach isham. Perik amok shanagam. Masachtas psachim. The loch is that if there's certain halachas that are totally the minig, so even if you're from a city where the minig is, let's say, to be mekel, but if you go to another city where the minig is to be machmer, you're supposed to be machmer. Well, he told them, I ate it outside the city limits. Right, I didn't eat it inside the chaymais of the city. I walked outside the city, that's where I ate it. So he asked him, Rav Chizda, how did you prepare it? How did you roast it? He told him, he said, I found pits of grapes, and I used those pits
to roast it. How do you know you're allowed to use those pits? Maybe it came from grapes that it was already after 12 months. Rashi quotes a Mishnah that says that these pits that are yavish, which means they're already 12 months old, there's no way to say yayin esach anymore. At that point, you're allowed to eat it. Well, they're not yours. You can't just pick off pits from the ground. Maybe it was gzeilo. I knew already that the owners were miyayish. Because there was already things growing on it. So I knew for sure there's no way anybody was a miyayish. Chazio, then Reb Chisda observed this yid, Rama Bardikuli, and he told, so do I have a manach tefillin? He wasn't wearing tefillin. Amalei, my time is manchas tefillin. He said, so he told him, why are you wearing tefillin? Amalei, so he told him, he has issues with his stomach. And the Amar Rabbi Yehuda, and I heard from Rabbi Yehuda, you see, he came from Asri to Rabbi Yehuda. So Rabbi Yehuda is his rabbi. So he told him, chayil miyayin patim in atfillin. He said, I heard from Rabbi Yehuda that a chayil miyayin is patim in atfillin. Chazir like a rami chuti. Then he saw he wasn't wearing tzitzis. Amaleis, he told him, my time less lo chuti. He said, why are you wearing tzitzis? Amaleis, he said, talus shulihi. It's not my talus, I borrowed it. Vam Rabbi Yehuda, and I have another sign from Rabbi Yehuda. Everything's from Rabbi Yehuda. He said, talus shulo, kol shleishim yayin patim in atzitzis. He says, a talus shulo every 30 days, for 30 days, you're patim in atzitzis. Adahachi, I sula hu gabaloi mikavu v'ime. As this is happening, they brought a person who, they brought him in front of Rav Chizda. This yid was not honoring his father. He wasn't being mekayem kabbad esavicha v'esimecha. Kafsu, so Rav Chizda started beating him. He started hitting him. Because the halacha is that if someone doesn't mekayem a mitzvah saseh, so you can force him to. Amalu, so Rami bar dekuli told him, shifku, don't, he's not supposed to hit him. The tanya kol mitzvah saseh, shemat nischar b'tzidein bezin shol matim uzor nolel. That any mitzvah where the Torah gives the schar, you're not let her go ahead and you're not let her force a person to do it. And keep it of the aim, it says, l'man yurichon yumecha. So it's matin schar b'tzida. If it's matin schar b'tzida, you can't do this. Amale, so Rav Chizda said, chazino lach techarifa tuva. He said, you know what? I underestimated you. Meaning, till now, he was eating the kral when nobody ate the kral. He went ahead, he took pits that were maybe yayin nesach, that didn't even belong to him. He's not wearing tefillin, he's not wearing tzitzis, but he saw, he knew, I can't learn it. You know, Lamaisi, he knew the halacha that kol mitzvah saseh. Exactly. He said, he knows the halacha. So the halach is that you're not let a force. So he says, wow, I see you're a big charif. Amalei, so he told him, have a ba'asri to Rabbi Yehuda. He says, listen, you think I'm a charif? He says, you know, now I'm not even home. If I would have been with my Rebbe, if you would see me talking, learning with my Rebbe, achvinu lachufay, then you'll see what a charif I really am. Either way, we'll end on this note, exhale, read. But Just a very interesting. So there's a lot here, obviously. I mean, you have lachas of tefillin, you have lachas of tzitzit, you have yayin nesach, you have yush bailim, of course, chal, which is what we're talking about. But just one ha'ara as it relates to this story, and then we'll go back to the beginning of the daf with Yalta, who was Rav Nachman's wife. And that is, the halacha is talis she'ula kol shleishim yayin patim in atzitzit. He said he wasn't wearing a talis, and he wasn't wearing tzitzit. He said the reason is because it's a talis she'ula, because it's not my talis. Incidentally, Reb Chaim Shmulevitz in the Sichas Musa said, you know, think about it for a second. Just, I mean, put the pieces of the story together. This yid, Rami Bar Tamri, the who Rami Bar Dikuli, think about what a poor person he was. So this is a yid who's, he doesn't have his own talis. He has no food. He's literally taking the udders that the oilam is throwing away. He doesn't even have wood to make a fire. So he has to take pits that have things growing on it. There's mold, there's vegetation growing on it. That's how he knows that the Bailam Omiyayish. Nebuch, he's a Bal Yasurim, he's a Chayim Ayim, he's potter in a tefillin, and he comes in on Erev Yom Kippur, where there's a mitzvah to eat, and instead of knocking on somebody's door, I mean, said Reb Chaim Shlomo, what would a person do? You knock on somebody's door, you know, Chbin Ayid, Chim from Pumpadisa, and he says, you know, maybe you could, you know, Tatlovish, exactly. He says, maybe you can invite me in for an Erev Yom Kippur Suda. He says, why wouldn't he do it? So he says, because you find by Kadmoinim, they only wanted to be Nenim Yagia Kapam. And the Gemara says, Pshoit Nevilta Beshuka Val Yitzar Chalabrias. This is in a Sikh or Chaim Shlomo. He says, just think about this Yid, how Moise Nefesh he was. He just didn't want to have to come on to anybody. But either way, one of the things he said was, is that a talis she'ula kol shloishim yoyim is p'tura min atzitzis. Says, Toisis, very long Toisis, ha-foich-ba, the kula-ba, there's a line in this Toisis, tap Toisim kufyuram and beis, that Rabbeinu Tam said that's poshet, that if a talis she'ula is chayiv in tzitzis mida iraisa la'achar shloishim yoyim, you'd be chayiv in tzitzis right away. Talis she'ula kol shloishim yoyim p'turim not tzitzis, but after 30 days you'd be chayiv in tzitzis. Says Toisis vice Toisis mida iraisa, you always potim not tzitzis. It's just that the Rabbanan said after 30 days, you should go ahead, after 30 days, you should already put on tzitzis.
Why is Atala Shula Patamina Tzitzis? Presumably, because it says Kisuscha in the parish of Tzitzis, and just like Loyero, Lucha, Shalcha, Yataroya, Avalataroya, Shalachayim, Kisuscha, your Kisus is Chayim Tzitzis, but if you're wearing somebody else's Kisus, you're not Chayim Tzitzis. But what's the difference between before Shloshim Yom Yachas, Shloshim Yom? Why would the Chachamim say that after 30 days you should be Chayim Tzitzis? So Rabbeinu Tam said a Gevalde Gezach. He says, we know Stam Halva is Shloshim Yom. So if somebody lends somebody money and they don't make up when exactly this loan is going to come due. It's a stam halva, shloshim yom. 30 days, yes. For 30 days, you can't ask him for money. You have no right to go over to him and tell him, I loan you money, give it back to me. Now, you loan me the money, stam, we didn't make up a time. I get to keep it for 30 days. But after 30 days, the loan is already become due. Stam halva, shloshim yom. Says Rabbeinu Tam, you can't deduct the stam shela shloshim yom. Stam shela is also 30 days. And it's for that reason that being that stam shela is shloshim yom, so the chachamim said, for 30 days, I'm not worried. Because being that deraisi in achayiv and tzitzis, and you borrowed it, and you know, up to 30 days, it doesn't look like anything other than the fact that you borrowed it. But after 30 days, we're stam Shayla already would go back. So why are you wearing this bag in more than 30 days? Oh, it looks like it's yours. Being that it looks like it's yours, for that reason, you're going to be chai. But Rabbeinu Tam was meichiach from all the things that you could take out of this sugya, literally, the kasha lai lefartam, all the things that you see here. But at the same time, says Rabbeinu Tam, I'll tell you another interesting thing. That even though stam she'el, that just like stam halva is shloishim yoyim, stam she'el is shloishim yoyim as well. But Taisu says, I disagree with Rabbeinu Tam. He says, why? Because everyone knows the halacha. We discussed it a few times when we learned Masechtas Menachos and other times as well. And that is if somebody rents a house. So the halacha is for 30 days, you don't have to put on a mezuzah. After 30 days, you do have to put on a mezuzah. What's the reason? So the reason is that this idea. So it says Toisvis, are you going to tell me that it's related to Stam Schirus being Shloshim Yom? No one's going to say Stam Schirus Shloshim Yom. Stam She'ela, maybe, because She'ela and Ava are very similar. But Schirus, for sure, there's no Allah of Stam Schirus Shloshim Yom. Elamai, the Chachamim said, for 30 days you pot, after 30 days you chayv. So it could be Stam She'ela is not Shloshim Yom. Stam She'ela is whatever. But at the same time, as it relates to this particular Allah, the Allah is going to be that it 30 days, your potter, after 30 days, already going to be chayv. Then Taisa says something else, that Rabbeinu Tam was moisif, and Rabbeinu Tam said that even though if somebody borrows somebody else's talis, so for 30 days, your potter may not tzitzis, but after 30 days, you chayv and tzitzis, but you don't make a bracha after 30 days. So even after 30 days, you don't make a bracha. And then Rabbeinu Tam says that even though I lishi tossi hold, that women who are potter for mitzvah seishas man geroma, if they do a mitzvah seishas man geroma, they make a bracha. Not like the Rambam Shita, which is why the Ashkenazim who follow Rabbeinu Tam, the women who do mitzvah seishas man geroma, they sit in a sukkah, they make a leisha basukkah. The Sfardim that follow the Rambam Shita, you're not supposed to make a bracha. But at the same time, says Rabbeinu Tam, even though I hold that an isha potter from doing a mitzvah makes a bracha on a mitzvah seishas man geroma, but over here, even lachas shloishim yom, you're not going to make the bracha. Why? He says because a woman, even though she's potter from doing a mitzvah seishas man geroma, but men are chayiv. So being that some people are chayiv, that's enough to say that if a woman does it, she gets a kiyum mitzvah and she even has to make a bracha. But a talis shu'ula, everybody's potter. So I mean that everybody's potter. So for that reason, says Rabbeinu Tam, you don't make a bracha. So it sounds like from here that if you would borrow somebody's tzitzis, or maybe a little bit more common, if you'd borrow somebody's talis, you wouldn't make a bracha. Because the talis shu'ula, and Rabbeinu Tam says that even though la'achas shloishim yoyim yichayim and tzitzis, but you never make a bracha. Being that you're potter from tzitzis, kesuscha, midei raisa, even la'achas shloishim yoyim, it's only midrabban, and Rabbeinu Tam said, because stam she'ela shloishim yoyim, pesargis, whatever. But as far as making a bracha goes, you never make a bracha. Stating that, that's not the halacha. The halacha is that if you borrow somebody's talis, you do make a bracha. What's the pshat? So it's based on something that the Rishonim speak out in this sugya, and that is that this halacha of talis she'ula, kol shloishim yoyim, p'turim na tzitzis, that is if you borrow a talis that has no tzitzis on it. So you borrow a talis that is a beged shel dalet kanfos, there's no tzitzis on the corners of the beged. So if no tzitzis on the corner of the beged, so there the halacha is that you put them in a tzitzis, and even if you put tzitzis on it, even la'achas shloishim yoyim, you're still not going to make a bracha. If, however, you borrow a talis that has tzitzis on it, there you're supposed to make a bracha. And that halacha is brought down in Shulchan Aruch. It's in Eruch Chaim, Simen Yud Dalet, it's in Hilchas Tzitzis, Sif Kotem Gimel. Hashoyom mechaveri talis enem mitzvah. Yet says, "Potem lehadol batzitzis kol amid yoyim." Dechsev ksuscha v'loy shal acherim. Aval leachal amid yoyim chayim midrabanon. V'bnei shenira shikoloi. Then the mechaber says, "Shah lokishi mitzuyet says, if you buy a talis that has tzitzis on it, mevarich aleh miyad. So then you make a bracha. You mevarich aleh miyad. Not only laachar shloishim yoyim." Mishnah Berurah speaks out that as it relates to the talis of a kohal, let's say a tzibur, a shul has a talis, and you want to use the shul's talis, there it's poshut that you're supposed to go ahead and you're supposed to make a bracha. Mishnah Berurah gives a reason, the bir alocha, there's a whole arichah, sugi is a mitzvah, srichah is kavah, it's festive sugi is over here. But either way, so this sugi of talis, shul, kol shloishim yoyim, p'tura, that's if you borrow borrowed a talus that has no tzitzis on it, which is very uncommon. If, however, you're going to borrow a talus that has tzitzis on it, so there the halacha, it's not our Gemara. It's not, it's so much so, it's not our Gemara, that of course there's tzitzis on it. It's not a question of you chayv and tzitzis or not, but where it's nafkamina, where it plays itself out, is you have to make a bracha, and you mevarech alea miyad. Either way, that's just one ha'ara to take away from this Gemara over here with Rama bar Tamri, dahu Rami bar Dikuli. But either way, the Gemara began with a very interesting exchange between Yalta and Rav Nachman. See, Yalta was Rav Nachman's wife, and Yalta told Rav Nachman, Mechti, kol da aslan rachmana sharlan kavase. Everything that the Torah said is aser, the Torah is also matis. Every single thing that you're not allowed to do, if you want to find it, b'ofen heter, you can find that it's possible, meaning we're not missing anything by the fact that we keep Torah mitzvahs. Because every davar aser that there is, you can actually find a davar mut. And he went on to list the whole list. It's interesting that Tosfos Dibra Maskil Nida Dam Toyer quotes from Rabbi Eliezer HaKalir, who discussed in his Yotzris, in Parshas Paro, this idea. It's in, so Parshas Paro coming up, this is in Yonah Diyema, we're in Yotzer season now. So he says as follows, Moitzi mizolois yukarois, matir me asurois mutarois. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu was matir from asurois mutarois, nois amitmeis tohiris. And he goes on to explain, this is in Yotzer of Parshas Paro, Shachris. Min achele, from the Issachel of Yav Shemin Halev. Min hadam, you have the tchoil hadam. Mi basa v'cholov, you have tchal ha'cholov. That's today's daf. Mi kilei begodim, you have tcheles besadim. So you have kalayim, but at the same time you have sadim etzitzis, which is okay. Mi eishes ach, you have yibum ha'ach. Mi eishes ish, you fast toil ish. Mi tumas nidas isha, toharas besule isha. Mi heter isir, mi isir heter. What's interesting is, so Tosfos quotes from Blaza HaKalir, it just bothered me, and this is an aura for Aryeh Gelbart, and that is, Tosfos refers to him as Rabbi Eliezer HaKalir. And there's no little Aleph Beis, Gimel Dal, no Aleph Beis next to it. So is it Rabbi Eliezer HaKalir? It's not Rabbi Eliezer HaKalir, it's actually Rabbi Lazar HaKalir, but parenthetically. In fact, so who was Rabbi Lazar HaKalir? Again, this is the season now. This is Yotzer season. So who was Rabbi Lazar HaKalir? Tosfos Maseches Chagiga, if you give him an Aleph, says that it was none other than the Tana Rabbi Lazar Rav Shimon. So Rabbi Shimon by Choy's son, Rabbi Lazar Rav Shimon, he was the Kalir. Rabbi Lazar HaKalir wasn't a Rishon, he wasn't a Kadmon, he's the Tana Elikim. Rabbi Lazar ben Rav Shimon. There's a tshuva from the Rashba where the Rashba says that it was Rabbi Lazar ben Aruch. Just had in the daf last week, mitzvah l'shmaya, divri Rabbi Lazar ben Aruch. The Rashba says in the tshuva that it's the Tana Rabbi Lazar ben Aruch. It's Yidua that the Eben Ezra in his Pirush on Kehelet spoke very sharp about the Kalir. He said there's a lot of grammatical mistakes and he spoke very, very sharp. And there's a letter that we've quoted in the daf from Kivega. Rabbi Kivega wrote also very uncharacteristically sharp kineged Eben Ezra, who spoke sharp Kenegah the Kalir, and he says, how can we be mezalzel in these piyutim and in these yoitzeris? At the end of the day, who's the author? It's Rabbi Lazar HaKalir that the Bali Tosfos and the Rashba said is either Rabbi Lazar ben Aruch or it's Rabbi Lazar Rabbi Shimon. The Tshuva Me'ahava, Rabbi Lazar Fleckless in his Simen Aleph, Chelek Aleph Simen Aleph, the very first Tshuva in Tshuva Me'ahava, he has a whole Arichus. It's a pilpul nifla with bekiyos and charifus. It's mamish kedai to see inside where he brings us Eben Ezra and he's mafalful and he has rayas that Rabbi Lazar Kalir from different things that he said was Rabbi Lazar Ben Aruch based on different members and stories and shas. Either way, it's a fascinating shmuz. But regardless, again, this is for Aryeh. Rabbi Eliezer HaKalir or is it Rabbi Lazar HaKalir? But the story itself. So what happened? So Yalta told Rav Nachman that everything that the Torah asked is mutter. So the one that's most interesting is he said that the Torah said that a chazer is aser, but if you want to know what chazer tastes like, there's a way to know what chazer tastes like. Eat the mecha de shibuta, eat the brain of this fish that's called the shibuta, and by eating that, you'll be able to know what the chazer tastes like. The Chidah in his Pesach Inayim, on this Gemara right here, Mesechtes Chulin says, Mikan, from this Gemara, he shafti lenichvad gvir echad. So there was a bakovadig gvir that came to him, and he cleared a shayla. And the Chidah said, I was able to be poishet a shayla from this Gemara. What was a shayla? He says, we know that the man tasted like whatever you wanted it to taste like. So when you ate man, if you wanted it to taste like meat, it tastes like meat. You wanted it to taste like coffee, it tasted like coffee. You wanted it to taste like whatever you wanted the man to taste like, that's what, very good, that's what it tasted like. So this gvir came to the chidah, he said, I want to ask you a question. Let's say somebody was eating the man, and he had in mind that it should taste like chazer.
Then he ate it. Was he over the Issachazer? Let's say a person was eating the money, had a mind, it should taste like a cheeseburger, basa v'chol, and then he ate it. Was he over the Issa, basa v'chol? Said the Chida, it's a great shayla. Wow. So somebody's eating the money, has a mind that it should take like a tava asa, then he eats it. Is he over the Issa, machalos asuris? So he said, from this Gemara, I was poshet him that it's a tava poshet, it's okay. He says, why? Because what would be the reason you would say it's asa? Because you're eating something that tastes like chazer. He says, but you see in this Gemara that chazer is not a taste that's inherently asa. Because the same chazer is also the meicha de shibuta. I saw a tshuva from the Chabina Rav. I didn't have a chance to really go through it. But he discusses whether if somebody would cook chazer with meicha de shibuta, would it be a taruvus mimimina? Would it be a taruvus mimimina? It tastes exactly the same. So being that it tastes the same, that it could be a taruvus mimimina, that if it's nishbach, you have a sofik shishim, you can go lahakal because it's a sveikid rabban alakula. But either way, said the chida, I see from this gemara that it's not something that's inherent, and every davar asa has it in its adam mutter. So I don't know what all the other things are, but the bottom line is said the chida, it's from this Gemara that if somebody would eat the man and he would have a mind that it should taste like machalas asuras, it'd be okay. You wouldn't be over any isur. Stating that, I don't think it's so pashit. And why is that? Because there's a pasuk in Parashat Shlach, in the Parashat Haman. So the pasuk says like this: Vayomer aleihem, Hu asher diber Hashem Shabbosin Shabbos Kodesh Lashem Mocha. So it was erev Shabbos Kodesh, and Moshe Rabbeinu tells the Yidden, he says, Rabbi, today you're going to get man, but you're going to get two times man. Lechem Mishnah, right? That's what we have a mitzvah, Lechem Mishnah. And he told them, Eisasha Toifu Eifu, that if you want to bake the man, you have to bake it today, on Friday. Veisasha Tevashu Vashelu, and if you want to cook the man, you have to cook it today. Veskola Oidev, Hanichu Lechem, the Mishmer Esad Boiker. Right, Rashi says, Mashatim Roitzim Lefeis Patanar Ofu Ayoy, Makolish Neyomen. Umashatim Tzrichim Levashu Mimenu B'mayim Bishlu Ayoy. He says, if you want to bake it, you have to cook it today. Why? Because tomorrow is Shabbos. I mean that tomorrow is Shabbos, it's not going to be okay. This is a Pasuk and a Rashi Ala Torah, and Parshas B'shal in the Parshas Haman. The Chida, in his Sefer Pnei David, brings a kasha that he saw from the Rash Primoy Zatzal. So this is a kasha from Kadmoin. His kasha was that in Parshas Baloichsura, that's the other Parshas Haman. So the Torah over there talks about the man as well. And the Torah says, Shatu am velaktu, that the am, they went and they collected the man, they gathered it. Vetachanu berichayim, and they grinded it. Oidachu b'medoichu u'bishlu, they cooked it and they baked it. Vayetamay kedad l'shad ha-shamim. It tasted like whatever you wanted it to taste like. Zok Rashi. Vetachanu berichayim, lo yored berichayim. That the man, even though the pasuk says that they would grind, it never actually went into a rechayim. V'loy b'kdeira, even though the pasuk says they cooked it, it never went into a kdeira. V'loy b'meducha, they never pressed it. Ela mishtana hayatama, it was all tam. V'nitchanim u'linidoichim u'lamavushalam. If you wanted it to taste cooked, it tastes cooked. If you wanted it to taste pressed, it tastes pressed. But everything was based on what you want. So the Rash Primoy asked, he said, Gevald, what if it was never cooked, and if it was never baked, v'zok Rashi. It's a pasuk really in Parashas B'Shalach. The Moshe Rabbeinu tells the Yidin that Shabbos Kodesh Lashem Moch. Tomorrow's going to be Shabbos. Is Asher Toif if you want to bake it? Hey, you got to bake it today. Is Asher Tavash if you want to cook it? Bashelu, you have to cook it today. Why? Because tomorrow's Shabbos. And tomorrow you're not left. They never cooked it. It never went into it. It was all B'machshava. So if it was all B'machshava, what was the big deal? B'machshava? What's the problem if you do something B'machshava? So he brings, does the Chida, that the Rashmi Pramo proves from here, that you see from here that if a person does a Malacha, afilu b'machshava. If you do a malacha, afilu b'machshava, the halacha is it's considered a malacha. And being that they were taka cooking it b'machshava, doesn't matter. But being that it was all done b'machshava, that was enough for it to constitute a malacha. And that's how you reconcile two rashis on the Torah. Mamash psukei Torah. On the one hand, they weren't allowed to cook it on Shabbos, but then again, they never cooked it. So if the whole thing was done b'machshava, what's the big deal? She says, you see, from here, that's not even b'machshava is going to be a problem. Rav Hirsch Pesach, Rav Tzvi Pesach Frank. The Rabbi of Yerushalayim in Eirachayim Simon Kuf Ayin Dalit has a tshuva. Listen to the shayla. Somebody asked him. Uvda hava the misha yesh lekelev. There's somebody who has a dog in his house. Ma'uman, but he's a trained dog. Umelumid gam lekiboy nera chashmal. So this dog, he was trained to the T. So he even knows how to turn the lights on and off. Shabala kelev roimizloy, the owner of the kelev, right? The bala kelev. He's meramiz. Yeah, he's roimiz him. Uleichet beragloy ala kaftor hanitzmad leha. So all he has to do is a little wink wink, and by him being Miramis, right, he goes like a little the dog jumps up. He reads the yeah, exactly, and he knows how to turn the lights on or off. So here's the question. So said Rav Tzvi Pesach, the question was sent brought to me, Ishari Lassis came to Shabbos, is it okay to do it on Shabbos? He said the Lafum Riyato at first glance,
malacha biyadayim. You're not really doing a malacha. Ela grama ba'alma. All it is, I mean, this is, right? This is grama, it's not amir lakim, it's amir lekelef. So it's not even amira. This is all b'machshava, right? This is all b'remisa. So it's a grama. Ukidamina b'shabbos. The Gemara said b'sech to Shabbos, lo yisasim malacha. Asiya huda asar grama shari. Shabbos kuf chav amid beis. Ve'efshet is a kill me grama. They ain't come maisa klap. Grama is always the pshat. You do a maisa. Right? And that maisa causes a trigger. Grama, garmi, right? All the nuances. He didn't do anything. This is like kamat b'machshava. That's all it is. Zakt Rav Tzvi Pesach. This is the friend. He wrote a whole tshuva on this. The in kam gomer. But this is how he starts his tshuva. Ach, haloim ro'isi l'marash fri moizal. Huva dvarav. In a sefer, I think that's one of the chidos. I'm shekasa be'inyan haman. Shoy v'shtam etamay v'chulu. And he brings this marash frimoy lahalacha that you see from here that if somebody doesn't melacha yidei machshava with regards to hilchas Shabbos, it's a problem. Because otherwise, why would the yidden not let her cook the man? They weren't cooking it anyways. It was all be machshava. So again, this is a whole discussion. It gets into shvisas behema and grumba b'Shabbos, which is a magen avram kiyutu v'advar matikin. But it's just a fascinating thing. Another thing, parenthetically, that comes out from this shmuz. So there's a sefer called Heir Yosef. Heir Yosef was written by Reb Yosef Arya Lawrence. He was Reb Shlomo Lawrence, the famous Chavra Knesset's son. So Reb Yosef Arya Lawrence, sefer Heir Yosef. It's on Reb Kiva Eger. It's on different mesechtes. So this particular volume is on the Lamites Malachas on Shabbos. It's a real, real lumbish sefer. So in the introduction to the sefer, he brings that he sent certain shailas when he went through the things that he discussed in the sefer. He sent certain shailas to Reb Chaim Kanievsky. So one of the shailas he asked Reb Chaim Kanievsky was like this: Besefer Pnei David Arav Achida BeParshas B'Shalach Hiksha. He brings this Pnei David that we just spoke out, where the Chida brings this kasha from the Marash Primoy, who asked that what was the problem to cook them on Shabbos. Cooking anyways. The whole thing was with machshava. So he said, you see, for me, that cooking with machshava is going to be a problem. But he asked from a Gemara Masechtes, Shabbos, Daf Lamites, where the Gemara says that if someone cooks on Shabbos, Bechami Tveria, Hamavashel Bechami Tveria Potter, there's no problem. Or if somebody would cook in the sun, he'd take it's so hot outside that he takes a raw egg and it starts cooking outside. So the halacha is going to be Potter. With the chametz mutal katchila, mevashu lechametz very is awesome. But the point is, midayraisa is fishul not bishul. And the reason is because when it says in the Torah that bishul is aser, it means it has to be told asar. You have to cook all day fire. But if you're not cooking with fire, so then the halachis is not going to be bishul. So he asks Reb Chaim Kanievsky. He says, I don't understand. Marash Primo said that if you would have cooked on Shabbos, bit machshava with the man, you would have been over this official. The chayra, this is all on dayraisa level, right? Obviously, we're handling bishul dayraisa. It's not told us or. So he said, if it's not told us or, why would it be bishul? Gevaldig akasha, tshuva. This is what Reb Chaim Kanievsky wrote back. Besefer Moishev Skeinim Mibali Atoisvis Parshas Bal Loischa Kosav Kein Ayin Sham. It's not only the Marash Frimer Reb Chaim told him, but this is already the Bali Tois already said this chiddush, and then he wrote in parentheses. This is all Reb Chaim. Vekosavti Bazeh Bederech Hamuna Hilcha Shmita Keis Bitfus Beezus Hashem Yisbarach. Umasha Heirmi told us Chama as it relates to your kasha. Sham Ein Derech Afiyosoi Bekach Masha Ein Kein Beman. What was Reb Chaim's teretz? Reb Chaim said Gevaldig. What's the pshat? It has to be told us. There's a din that bishul deraisas fire. What does that mean? What it means is that on Shabbos you only chayiv if meleches machsheves as retire. If you do it in the way that you're supposed to do it, he says today people cook with fire. Nobody cooks in the chamit feria. Nobody scrambles their eggs, you know, outside when it's a hot day. And as a result, it's not derech bishul. So if it's not derech bishul, that's not going to be the bishul that the Torah is going to be chayiv. But when the yidden were in the midbar, derech bishul was b'machshava. So being that was the derech bishul, so it's poshit, said Reb Chaim, that that's going to be a bishul deraisa. Either way, again, there's so much here, so many layers as it relates to the Pnei David. But l'chayru one ha'ara, and that is that if when someone had a machshava, that the mancha tastes like basar, so the man remained the man, it just tasted like basar. Or if someone had in mind that the man should taste like challah, so the man remained the man, it just tasted like challah. So that would mean, just think about it, that if someone had in mind that the man should taste cooked, nothing changed in the man, it just tasted cooked. If that's what happened, then what's the problem to do this on Shabbos? There's a problem to make something taste cooked on Shabbos? If someone had a machshava that the man should taste cooked, what happened? The man cooked. That's it. Now all of a sudden you had a medium rear steak. That's what happened. Or no, the man looked like the man. Vukizer, whatever the Torah describes it as, that's what it looked like. Just when you tasted it, it tasted that way. If that's the case, then why are we even having this conversation? You didn't cook anything. It had a tam bishul. It had a tam bishul. No one said you're not allowed to eat the man on Shabbos. You can eat the man on Shabbos and make it taste like raw meat. No one has a problem with that. The issue is bishul. You're cooking. Bishul is one of the lamatas malachis. That's the issue. L'chair, what's the issue? It was never cooked. It just tasted cooked. What did you do? You know what it sounds like from this Pnei David? You know what it sounds like from this Marash Frimaya, from this whole shmooze? That when a person ate the man and he had a mind that it should taste cooked, that what happened was it didn't just taste cooked, it actually cooked. Being that it cooked, you were mevashel on Shabbos. Now yesh lachker. If someone's mevashel on Shabbos, layidei machshava, is it bishul or is it not bishul? So what's the shayla? Oh, it's grama. That's one shayla. Refersh Pesach. Then you can dine that maybe it's toldus chama. It's not toldus zar. It is the derech Kanyevsky. But the point is now we can sit and we can have a conversation. Geshmak shmuz. If you're cooking layidei machshava, right? Another shayla is if someone's mevashel, if someone does a malacha derech skuli, right? Moshe Rabbeinu wrote Yud Bei Sifrei Torah on Shabbos. The Rosh is Kashi. If Moshe Rabbeinu was nifta on Shabbos, that's why we say it's a kasch on Shabbos. See the katan on Shabbos, because Moshe Rabbeinu was nifta on Shabbos. It says he wrote Yud Bei Sifrei Torah. He did it by Shabbos Kumis. All this raid that the Shabbos Kumis, maybe it's not us, because you only do it with us. That's another thing you can discuss when it, as it relates to having a machshava. But that's all if you're actually cooking the man. If the man is cooking, but if the man is remaining the way it is, it just tastes cooked. Then l'chayra, what's the problem? So zeh mashma gevein from this Pnei David and this Marash Primoy and this whole arichus in the Achrayim that when someone had a machshava that the man should taste a certain way, the physical nature of the man actually changed. It cooked. Now you have cooked man. So if you have cooked man, now you cooked man. Then it's good. Problem is, if that's the case, how does it do with our chida? We started the shmuz with a chida on the Pesachinayim. Where the chida said that what would be, he said, this gvir, this nichbah came to him and he asked him a festish shayla. He wanted to know that if somebody had a machshava that the man should taste like macholas asuris and then he eat it, is he over this macholas asuris or is he not? So he said, what should be the problem? Because it tastes like macholas asuris. If something tastes like macholas asuris, maybe it's the shibuta. How do you know it's the chazer? Maybe it's the meicha de shibuta. That's all. If it didn't change physically, it just tasted a certain way. So you're right, the Chido was able to prove from Chulin Koftasam and Beis that taste is not something that's inherently awesome. All right, because for everything that has a time of vista, you have the corresponding time of after. But if the way that the man worked is that it physically changed, if it physically changed, then now it's a shtikhazer. If it's a shtikhazer, then why should you be over that? It would make sense, maybe they should be. In other words, yesh lachker. We know the man tasted like whatever you wanted it to taste like. Somebody ate man. How did it work? Is the pshad, you had a mind that it should taste like a rib steak. It became a rib steak. Now you're sitting with a rib steak in front of you. Or no, it was. It was just a question of taste. If it physically changed, then we understand the Pnei David. If it didn't physically change, then we understand the Pesach Inayim. There would seem to be a little bit of a steer over here in the Chidah. Either way, a fascinating question. If somebody ate the man and he had a machshava that it should taste like macholos asuris, then he ate it. Was he over the Issa macholos asuris or was he not over the Issa macholos asuris? Just to end on one ha'ara. So the Gemara over here says that if somebody wants to know what Chayalta told Rav Nachman, I know that if I want to taste the chazer, so there's a way to eat chazer. How? The meicha de shibuta. The meicha de shibuta is a shtik chazer. The truth is, on the topic of Jews eating chazer, there's a fascinating medrash on the pasuk the Eisa Chazir. The pasuk says that Lobin Ikrishmay Chazir. Why is the chazer called the chazer? The reason is Sha'asad HaKadosh Baruch Hu L'Hachazir. Because even though right now the chazer is aser, but there's going to be a time that the chazer is going to be mutter. So there's going to be a time where we will be able to eat the chazer. It's interesting that the Chasam Sofer, in his Teres Moshe, in Parsha Shminis, he brings this medrash, and he brings a Geshmak Akasha that he heard from Hagoyen Agadol, Rab Abba Zatzal, of Bezdin, the Frankfurt the Main. So I think he means Rab Abishol, who was the famous Rav of Frankfurt the Main. But either way, he brings this Kasha that he heard from Rab Abba Zatzal, of Bezdin, the Frankfurt the Main. And that is, we know that Loch is, that a Dova Sheyeshloi Matirim, doesn't become bottle. So if you have something that's aser and it's a sarav and a taruva, we are learning the sugyas of basav chal of taruvas now. So if it's a sarav and a taruva, the halach is it doesn't become bottle b'shishim. Why? Because it's going to be mutter anyways. And acha teichlanu beisa teichlanu beheder. So for that reason, any dava sheyesh lematirim the halach is doesn't become bottle b'shishim. The Bach quotes an urzarua where the urzarua discussed that let's say somebody has a piece of meat where there's a shayla in halacha whether you could eat it or you can't eat it, and the halach is teiku. Tishbi yitaritz kushyas v'habayis. That's the halacha. The halacha is teiku. And then it's nisara v'taruvos. So do you say that it's mutter al yidei bittul or not?
What's the tzad not? Because being that Tishbi Yataritz Kushes Vaboyas, so it's possible that Yoh Novi is going to come, he's going to tell you it's mutter. On the tzad that it's mutter, now it's a Dovashi Eshel Matirim. So if it's a Dovashi Eshel Matirim, maybe it shouldn't be bottled. It's an Erzeruah. The Bach brings it in Yeriteya, Hafluvel, and Simon Kuf Beis. He brings, if you have a Pchatichas Basar that has on it a Din Teiku, and that was Nisarim, and the Taruva is, so do you say Bittel, or do you not say Bittel? Again, why not? Because being that Eliyahu Navi may be Matirit, so maybe you have to look at it as a suffix, Dovashi Yesh Lematirim, Ancha Techlenu, Bezat Techlenu Behetar, so maybe, Bechai Gavno, you're not going to have a look. That's a different. Anyway, says there's a Ruah, a Gevaldi Gesfara. He says, Dovashi Yesh Lematirim means something that's for sure Osir now, that's going to become mutter. So what's a classic example of a Dovash Yesh HaMatirim? Beish and Aldo B'Yantiv is Aser on Yantiv. So Beish and Aldo B'Yantiv is Aser on Yantiv. But after Yantiv, it's going to be Muktza. Muktza is Aser today, but tomorrow it's going to be mutter. So right now it's Aser, but actually Techlanu B'Iser, Techlanu B'Heti. You can't wait until Chol Moed, you wait till tomorrow. Tomorrow it's going to be mutter already. You'll be able to eat it then, you have nothing to worry about. That's a classic example, meaning the Iser that you have today will no longer be there tomorrow. But in this case, but you have a Chatichas Basar, we have a suffix. You're not sure if it's Mutter or if it's Aser. So what are you going to tell me that Tishbi Yataritz Kushis Vabayis? Tell Yoh Novi's going to come, he's going to be Matter. If Yoh Novi's Matter, what's going to be the Pshat? He's going to say it was always Mutter. He's going to say, Goy Muslim afraid that it was never us. That's not Dovash Yesh HaMatirim. Dovash Yesh HaMatirim is the Pshat, this Iser, that's going to become mutter. On the tzad heter, in the teiku, it's not the pshad it was aser that became mutter. The pshad is it was never aser. I mean that it was never aser. Lo yalzen nemra the halacha of dover sheyesh lematirin. Said Rab Abishol, but I took out from this Urzarua Gevaldi Gezach, that the fact that Eliyahu Navi would be matter something, the fact that something's going to be mutter lasa lavi is enough to make something a dover sheyesh lematirin. It's just the pshat that by every teiku it's not a Dovash Yesh HaMatirim because of the oneness of Dovash Yesh HaMatirim. Because Dovash Yesh HaMatirim means it's Asa that becomes Mutter. Over here, if Eliyahu Hanavi's going to be Matir, it's going to be Gloy Muslim Afreid that was never Asa. But that in and of itself, that Eliyahu Hanavi can come B'Meher B'Yameinu and say that this is Mutter, that's enough to render it a Dovash Yesh HaMatirim. So based on this Hanacha, that really is tucked away in the Urzarua. Said Rabbi Abishol, I have a kasha. Chazal say, why is the chazer called a chazer? Because Shasal Kadosh Baruch Hu Lachzira. Because one day, Lasad Lavi, the chazer is going to be kosher. Chazer is for sure not kosher today. One day it's going to be kosher. If that's the case, it's a Dovash Yesh LeMatirim. If it's a Dovash Yesh LeMatirim, his kasha was, the lechayr it should be not bottle. And lo shamanu v'loy ro'inu, no one ever heard such a chiddish, that a chazer, everyone should be viewed as a Dovash Yesh LeMatirim based on the fact that Asra HaKadosh Baruch Hu Lachzira says the Chassam Sofer, Pshat says that I think the whole kasha is based on the Tois. He says, it's true, the Chazer one day is going to be Mutter. But you know what the gedder of the Chazer one day being Mutter is? The gedder is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to make the Chazer a kosher animal. Meaning right now, the Chazer is Mafreses Parsa, but it's not Malagera, right? There are four animals that have one of the two Simonim. You have the Gomel, and the Shofan, and the Arneves. They're all Malagera, but they don't have Mafreses Paras. So the Chaz is just the opposite. He's Mafreses Paras, but he's not a Malagera. Said the Chassam Sofer, when Mashiach's going to come, he's going to be a Malagera. And being that he's going to be a Malagera, he's going to have all the kosher simanim, and Mele is going to be a kosher animal. He said, it's not the pshat that the Eibush is going to take, Mavish, the lumdus of how the Chaz is going to be kosher. He's going to take the Chazer that's not Malagera, that doesn't have two kosher simanim, and say, Afal Pike and it's kosher. No, the gather is that it's going to have two kosher simonim. Oh, if the gather is it's going to have two kosher simonim, it doesn't affect this chazer. This chazer that Alamos and a chazer. He says it's the new chazer, the chazer that's going to be malagera, that's going to chew its cut. Oh, that chazer, different chazer. That chazer is, we don't have. The chazer we have today will never be mutter, thus it's not a davash yeshleim ma'atirim. But then the Chassam Sofer says that the truth is that even though the Medrash says that the chazer one day is going to be mutter, but really the real oimek in the Medrash is something else. And that is that we know the Svar Makdoshim say that the four animals that the Torah lists as the non-kosher animals, the Gomel and the Shafan and the Arneves and the Chaz, they all represent the four nations. They all represent the four nations that took the Yidden into Galus. And the Chazer is the fourth one that's mentioned, and it's connected to the fourth Galus. That's the Galus that we're in today. That's Galus Edoim. And he says the real oimek of Asa HaKadosh Baruch Hu Lachzira is that Edoim is going to do tshuva. Edoim's going to come around. And the same Edoim, the Romans that destroyed the second base on Mikdash, and the Neitrim that gave the Yidden such tsaras for 2,000 years with pogroms, and whether it was the Crusades or the Spanish Inquisition or the Holocaust and all these different tzaras that we got. Asin HaKadosh Baruch Hu Lachziro. Shalo Asin Yishapchu Kol HaUmois V'yoydu L'shmei HaGadol. That's what it means. It means that they, the same ones that were giving us all these tzaras, says the real Oymek is, it's going to be V'nahapchu LaYehudim. That the same people that gave us the tzaras, they're going to come around. Asin HaKadosh Baruch Hu Lachziro. They themselves are going to have a change of heart. The Rebbeinu B'chaya talks about this in Parsha Shmini as well, and he says that Edom is going to be the ones that are going to give us Rishus to build the Beis HaMikdash. This is already told in all the raid of the Drisha Siyan and Rav Tzvi Eresh Kalischer, the Radak raid that we spoke about when we learned Masechta Zevachim. I will end on that.